Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Okay, I think there's a few people on the way back, but please don't rush. Make sure you get hydrated. My goodness, the relief of having an ice cold liquid just come down your throat. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm really privileged to be here. It's really lovely. I hope I can live up to that welcome. The fact is, I just a couple of quick bits. I actually have a number of people in this room to thank for my growth in Jesus. I did not grow up in church. I was actually quite anti-God, and then God had a word, and things sort of changed. And I remember saying, I would never set foot in a church, let alone do a Bible study. And here I am teaching the word. So God does do good stuff. But also, yes, I love young people. We've got some fantastic young people here. We've also, while I do lots of stuff in Dartford, and I pop by every so often, it's actually Claire and the team who do a fantastic work here. And I'd love it if we could just honour Claire and the rest of the team. If you serve our young people, you do a great work. Don't forget that. I remember, it was probably this time last year, we were chatting and we were saying, we don't know what youth's going to look like in Gravesend. And yet, what do we have? We have a flourishing youth work where I'm every time I pop in, I just see you grow in leaps and bounds. We went to the Send. It's like a worship night on Friday. And we brought some of the kids from Dartford, but I think most of you guys came. It was powerful. It's what every youth lead, every parent wants to see, is their kids growing and engaging in the Spirit. So we have got great kids. You guys are the now, you're not the future. And so we are really blessed with you guys. A bit about me. So I recently moved a house. Has anyone ever had to move? Yeah, it's a faff, isn't it? It's an absolute nightmare. I think it almost fell apart like 5 times. There was loads of rubbish sort of paperwork to deal with. There's like a printing fee. What's a printing fee? I don't get it. It's just ridiculous. But we finally got it all sorted. And then there was a little bit of paperwork they needed to redo. And so when they do that, they need to get your signatures and get it witnessed and all that sort of stuff. But problem was, we were in Scotland at the time. So we had to get a printer so that we could print our contracts and stuff. But we needed a witness, which means we needed someone who knew us and someone who was actually there. The problem is everyone we knew were 9 hours away. So we were stuck. And if we didn't do it, we're going to have to pay thousands more pounds anyway. We prayed and we fought through our mind. There's a missionary, sort of travelling missionary, who actually does live in Edinburgh sometimes in the year. So we called him. Praise God, he was available. And so we drove over to Edinburgh, got him to sign it in our presence, bought him a nice lunch, not a bribe in any way. We got it sorted. And because of him, we got to move into the house we are. We got to be into the place where we now belong. The funny thing is that the qualification he needed to be a good witness was that he knew us, he could talk to that fact, and that he was present. You know, we've witnessed. We're doing a series called Forgotten Pathways, and actually, we've witnessed or sharing our faith. Maybe some people call it evangelism. Do you know what? It's that simple. We just need to know Jesus and be present to tell people. The thing is, people get a bit nervous about evangelism. They get a bit scared. Some people get very excited. Some people, it's another thing. I don't know how to do it very well. But you know what? I'm just going to say why it really matters that we talk about witness today. Our witness and sharing our faith, it is serious, absolutely, but it's also simple. It's serious, but it's simple. Here's why it's serious. Do you know, 30% of people in the UK regularly feel hopelessness as part of their lives. 27% regularly feel alone. We all know that the world is broken, and the fact is, we have found the answer in Jesus. Amen? Amen. The solution, the restorer, that's who he is. So our witness, don't get me wrong, it is a serious thing. But here's the good news. It's often a lot simpler than we make it out to be. We're not called to be polished evangelists. We're called to be everyday witnesses. And There we go. Everyday witnesses. And like our friend in Scotland, all we need to do is share what we know and be present. It's more about presence than it is about performance. And so we're going to look at a story with Jesus and how he shared, what his method was. We're going to look at a story called Zacchaeus. And Jesus, you might have heard it. But we're also going to look at hospitality and what part that plays in sharing our faith. Before I get started, I'm going to give you two quick freebies. There's a verse, a lovely verse, which talks about how out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth, there we go, speaks. Yes, that's right. And so actually, whatever we're doing, whether it's discipleship, whether it's sharing our faith, the primary key thing is always pursuing Jesus. Otherwise, what you can sometimes end up is with really passionate people, but sort of a bit all over the place. We want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we know that we're doing this out of freedom, not out of some sense of sort of guilt or shame or anything like that. But we also want to talk about what Jesus said. Why did Jesus share the gospel? So if you think about Jesus sharing the gospel, you wouldn't be blamed for going to this verse very quickly. It's a cracker. In fact, let's just read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And there's a reason we love that verse. It's all in there. But is that basically the one block phrase? Is that the script that Jesus had when he was walking around? I don't think it was. In fact, Jesus often has various different ways that he shares the truth of the gospel, and it often maybe centers around one thing. Here's a couple of examples. So Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the earth." That's really counter to what we are taught in society, but actually that's what Jesus teaches. Matthew 10, verse 7, he proclaims this, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." Many people think of God as far away and distant and disinterested. That's not been my experience of Jesus. Even in my worst moments, Jesus is drawing me to himself. What about John 1? It says, "But to all who did receive him and believe in him, his name, he gave the right to become children of God." God is the one who adopts the orphan and the lonely and the unwanted. Jesus shared truth, but he did it through story, he did it through presence, he did it through relationship. What about, one thing I quickly want to ask, what about us? What if you think, we did an evangelism seminar the other day and someone said, "I just don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I know enough about the Bible. I've only been a Christian like a year or so, so I don't really know how to do this. I'm not the right person." Okay, well, in the Gospels, Jesus sends out people who've basically just met him. They didn't have a theology degree. They hadn't read the whole Bible because also like a lot of the Bible hadn't been written at that point. They simply shared what they knew about Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he's done. You can do that too. If you know Jesus, you can share something of him. I've heard it put this way. Your story is your strongest sermon. Your story is your strongest sermon. Now, I didn't actually tee you up earlier on, but I like a bit of audience participation. So we're going to have a little bit of a moment to discuss. So we're going to take a minute, and I want you to turn the person next to you or behind you, whatever you want to do, and just answer, what difference has Jesus made in my life? What is the one thing you could share about Jesus? You got 60 seconds each. Go. Okie doke. Let's draw those conversations to a close. Okie doke. Was that encouraging? Wasn't it? It's good to share what God has done in our lives. And actually, that's all we're called to do when we meet other people, when we've got people in our lives, whether they're just for a moment or actually they're a regular part of our life, at work, at school, everything. We're just called to share what we know of Jesus. The pressure on salvation's on him, so we can relax and just share what we know. So having talked about how Jesus speaks the gospel, what he says, actually we're going to take a little bit of a look at the method in way he does things. So let's look at this story. Has anyone heard of Zacchaeus? It's a great word, a strong word, isn't it? Good name. Anyway, let's have a little read together. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. Cat collector? Goodness me. A chief tax collector and was wealthy. That slayed me completely. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, like, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So, when we read that, there's probably three things that I like to sort of pick out. One is that Jesus takes the first step. He doesn't wait. You know, you kind of think, "Oh, we see this guy crying, climbing a tree. That's sort of interesting. I'm kind of in the middle of something." No, he reaches out straight away. Actually, he's quite bold. He sort of invites himself to dinner. Anyone know anyone who's like that? They should invite themselves around. Good. That's good. We're good to have those people in our lives. But Jesus takes the first step. This is of great confidence to me, because I know in the problems that I face in life, Jesus is the one who takes the first step. And so actually, that's the example I get to follow. But also, Jesus breaks some social norms. When we think about the tax collector, we're not talking about HMRC. Okay, we're talking about these are people who, on behalf of the Roman institution, who are overbearing, oppressing, and stuff. Romans have a certain massive tax, might be sort of 40 or 50% of what you earn, and then what they do is they put their own tax on top, so they take another cut. Basically, they're stealing from their own people. Zacchaeus was not a good guy. Sorry, I know the kids' story sometimes, like, "Oh, he's short, and Jesus likes short people." Well, actually, no, it's not what it's like. Zacchaeus is not a great guy. But Jesus didn't excuse Zacchaeus' wrongs, but he didn't let those wrongs stop him from loving Zacchaeus either. You know, the gospel, the love of Jesus, is for absolutely everyone. Yes, even them. But what happens? Presence leads to transformation. Presence leads to transformation. He suddenly declares that he's... We don't even know what happened in the conversation. That's the great thing about it. We don't know what their conversation was. I assume they talked. But he's completely transformed and turned around and even offers to repay everything plus more. When people spend time with Jesus, things change. This isn't actually a one-off. You know, Jesus constantly shares meals with outcasts and strangers and outsiders, tax collectors, prostitutes, people on the margins of society. He breaks barriers by opening up his life to others, not just through his words, but through making himself available. Is it possible that one of Jesus' primary methods of witnessing was through hospitality, through sharing food? I've got up some people's interest now, haven't I? That's good. Okay. Let's do another question, okay? What does hospitality mean to you? Can you think of someone who's shown it to you, and how? Turn to the person next to you. 1 minute each. Go. Oh, no. Okay, guys, let's come back together. I'm just going to say, there are, even looking around the room, I know there are so many great people who just make you feel warm, make you feel welcome. We often think about hospitality as being great hosts. They've got a really lovely house, and they're really good at cooking, and they've decorated nice, and they're good at entertaining, basically. Yeah, sure, that's part of it, but only a part, because do you know what? Biblical hospitality is much deeper. It's about welcoming the stranger, the outsider, the one who can't repay you. Luke 14 says this. It says, when you give a banquet, I love how it assumes we're all giving banquets. I think it's more referring to when you have a meal. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Do you know, there's a rule that we all learned very, very early on. And that rule is don't talk to strangers. The problem is, whilst that's wisdom for kids, I think we've still kept on to it as adults sometimes. And actually, we need to think about that, because God's kingdom is open-armed. What does it look like for you, for your family, for us as church to open our circle, to open our arms so that people can come in, to remove those barriers? Do you know, as churches, you know, we're really trying to live this out. We want to reach our neighbours. We want to be in our towns. You know, I love Dartford. There's loads of reasons not to, but I love Dartford. I know each one of you guys, you love Gravesend. You've got a heart. That's why we're doing everything we're doing. We want to create spaces to be open, but to be present, to be with people, because that's the only way they're going to see Jesus. We want to be open and available and walk through life with others. Do you know, this really got me excited. In Gravesend, 550 people came to your fun day. That's 550, I think it's more than that actually, 550 moments where people could feel welcomed, where people could feel wanted and seen, and honestly drawn a little bit closer to Jesus. Not through preaching, but simply through presence. But do you know, the truth is, for all of us, wherever we are, the greatest growth will not just come from individual events, but through everyday witness, from lives lived wide open, from practicing hospitality. So, here's where we're going to go. Let's go back to the story a little bit and see how that might affect us. So, first things first, we want to take the first step. What could your first step be in witnessing through hospitality? What would it look like? Do you know, for me and Abby, Abby's my wife, by the way. For those who don't know, I've got a wife and I've got a little boy, Esther, he's almost two. But we've always tried to connect with our neighbours. So when we move in somewhere, we've knocked on doors to say hello. Christmas or Easter, we'll do some chocolates by the door. No one doesn't like chocolate. They're always going to have that. This summer, we're posting some invites down our little streets. We've just moved in and we're going to try and have an open house sort of barbecue thing. It might fall flat on its face, in which case, I'll have loads of meat to eat, but you know, God works in mysterious ways. His will be done. But my point is, I want to have opportunity to connect with these people. These are my neighbours. And like Jesus did with Zacchaeus, we need to take the first step. Now, I know some people might think, okay, Colin, this is great. I don't really have a nice home or a big home, and I'm rubbish at cooking. I'm not naturally outgoing. Do you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You're not excluded. This is not kind of a merits-based thing. Jesus didn't have a home, but you know, whenever he went, people felt at home with him. The goal is not to have a nice big space. That's not how it works. It certainly wouldn't have been good in the first century church, but to be a home actually ourselves where people can be. So, do you know what? If your house isn't the space, that's fine. Go for coffee, invite someone for a walk, meet in the park, borrow someone else's house. Jeez, do it all the time. Q has got a great house and he's not here to argue. So, you know what? Just borrow his house. That's fine. Take the first step, though. Whatever that is, guys. Take the first step. Break the norms. Do you know, sometimes being a witness means breaking those unspoken rules. I'm just going to say it now. If there are adults here who are still adhering to that rule, don't talk to strangers, I'm releasing you completely on behalf of your parents. You can go. You can talk to strangers. That's all right. I remember once I was on a train to Scotland, and you know, and it's a train. Like, we all know trains, then unspoken rule, do not talk to someone on a train. I spoke to someone once, tried to. He literally turned the other way. Like, it was really embarrassing and awkward. And like, there was this, you're like, okay, fair enough. But this time didn't go quite that way. I was on a train to Scotland. I'll go to Scotland a bit. And there's four of us sharing this little table. And, you know, I had a 5-hour journey with these guys. It was just going to be silence. Goodness me. So I forgot my lunch, so I went to the cafe car, got a sandwich and bits. Actually saw these lovely big cookies. They were in big packs, so they that's how they get you, make you kind of spend it. So actually I thought, do you know what? I'm going to buy some table snacks. I'm going to buy some cookies, I'm going to buy some crisps, the sharer ones. So I just came back and I plonked them on the table. And as you would expect, someone looked at me a bit weird and was like, what's all this? And I was like, look, I just feel... Where was it? I just feel a little bit weird being a pig and stuff in my face while you guys sit there with nothing. So this is for you. Have at what you want. And they're like, and he's just looking at me. He's like, that's really weirdly thoughtful. but you know what it did? It opened up the conversation. You know? Conversation started. It broke the silence. Stories were shared. We learned all about them and why they were going to Scotland. But you know what? By the end of it, I got to share the gospel. I got to share my story of how I came to know Jesus. I got to answer their questions about Jesus. What if every meal we had was actually an opportunity to share the gospel? What are the spaces in your life where certain people are unintentionally excluded? I mean to say this very carefully, unintentionally excluded. I'll tell you what I mean. I had a chat with someone recently, and I was talking about this topic and what I should say and stuff like that. And he said, well, who can come to your house? And I was like, well, anyone can come to my house. Anyone is welcome. Absolutely. That's the right thing. And he's like, okay, but who's invited? As in, who have you invited? And I took the challenge because I was like, actually, it's really nice for me to say anyone's welcome, but actually... if they don't know they're invited, how are they going to come? Who is outside the in crowd, whether at work or school or in your friendship circles? Jesus is really clear, everyone's invited. So break the norms and be willing to step out. You'd be surprised what Jesus does. And then lastly, maybe not quite lastly, but this person's amazing. This is Rosario Butterfield. She's amazing. Once a really strong critic of Christianity. She came to faith through regular meals with our local pastor. That's how she puts it. And this is a little quote from a book. She says, let God use your home, your apartment, your dorm room, your front yard, gym, garden, to turn strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family, because that's the point. Building the church and living like a family, the family of God. This is more than a method. It's a way of life. I also really love that the book she's written is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Doesn't that just get it across? And lastly, let them see Jesus. Do you know, it's so much easier to share about Jesus when actually Jesus is just part of our normal dialogue, whether we're talking about what's going on at church, whether we're talking about seeing God come through in prayer, or actually when we react to difficult situations, we know, well, I'm going to pray about that. What Zacchaeus needed most was to see and spend time with Jesus. If you are a believer, Jesus will shine out of you. You just can't help it. So don't hide it. Let the gospel move through your life to others. Invite people to go on errands with you. Do you know, we're always going to be busy. You know, that's one of the hardest things. We're all trying to manage our time. So we have to find those moments, whether that means inviting someone in for a breakfast and with you before you all go off to work, whether it means doing errands together, celebrating good things, offering to pray, listening with compassion, being patient, most of all being present, particularly during suffering. I've had some of the most powerful conversations I've had with my neighbours when they've gone through a hard time. But, you know, would they have opened up if I hadn't said hello first a couple of years before? We have Jesus. We have the answer. It's serious, but it's simple. And it's about presence, not performance. So open up your life. Let them see Jesus. Imagine a world where Christians everywhere saw hospitality not as an extra task, but as a way of life. Where homes, parks, cafes, bus stops became places of welcome. Where strangers became friends and friends discovered the love of Jesus. Not through slick presentations or salesmanship or any of that sort of stuff, but through meals, open hearts, faithful presence. That kind of world, honestly, guys, it is possible because that's the world that Jesus came to create. We are just everyday witnesses walking that forgotten path of hospitality and pointing to the one who welcomed us first. Amen? Amen. It only feels like the right response to pray. So, one more time. Turn to the person you're with. What's the first step you could take in reaching out in hospitality? And then pray for one another. Spend a few minutes doing that, and then we'll go from there.